subject this morning is how to pray. It's always a challenge when you're invited to speak and the person who invites you to speak says, yeah, choose what you like. And it's always a lot harder. And I scratch my head and think, well, what do we speak here? Because normally you think, oh, the preacher will have a blinding light. And you, boom, there you go. It was only up to a few days ago, and I heard that, I'll put the screen up. Was that not working? Have I got it switched on? That should. There we go. Discovered that today is that it's been designated Lord's Prayer Sunday. You didn't know that, did you? Or some of you did. Did anyone know that? No, they're obviously not doing a very good job. Because I only discovered very late. Premier Radio and UCB are designated day, Lord's Prayer Sunday, so that they're going to put it out at 12 o'clock, except you won't be able to listen because you'll be here. Probably not listening to me still, unless I speak for a very long time. To read, just push the Lord's Prayer, because things are happening in this country. Yeah, the church is on the move. Well, a significant proportion is it. People are coming to faith. The Lord is at work. And prayer changes things. The church is growing. Great things are happening. I read this week that potentially by 2030, do you know where the biggest church in the world is going to be? Any ideas? Nope. It's not a bad shot, actually. Iran isn't big enough to be the biggest church in the world. Any ideas? China. Hmm. China will be the biggest church in the world, which also brings me to Iran. Iran is growing at a phenomenal rate. Iran is the fastest growing church in the world. And potentially part of the reason why things are happening in Iran at the moment is because the church is growing. People are coming to faith in their droves. Many people who are in this country are from Iranian extraction. They've come to faith. They came to faith in Iran. They've come to faith in this country. God is at work in unusual places. You think Iran is stuck. You know, Iran is going to be a Muslim country forever. Is it? God can do things. God can change things. God is at work. And it comes about because God's people are ready for action, ready to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is an interesting prayer because a lot of the time I have a problem with the Lord's Prayer. You have a problem with the Lord's Prayer? Well, not the Lord's Prayer per se, but the way it's used. Because it's often used quite turgidly. It's very repetitive. It's, you know, done out of habit. Sometimes people do it all the time, and it becomes a bit monotonous, and it's just almost used as a saying for the sake of it. But actually, it's quite exciting. This morning I'm going to look at it. I'm actually only going to look at half of it. I'm going to give you half a sermon. Cool, wow, that's good. He's only going to give us half a sermon this morning. We'll be out of here quick, won't we? No, sorry about that. Because the Lord's Prayer is divided into half. The first half very much focuses upon God and what God wants. The second half is more focused upon us. And that's the bit we like, because we give us our daily bread. Fantastic, we'll love that. You can get that easy. But I'm going to focus upon God this morning and what God wants. And it very much ties in what we've already been looking at this morning. So let's just read it. So we just start with. Read from verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. a model prayer. Not necessarily that we should actually pray it as a prayer on its own, but is used as a template of how we should pray. So let's have a look at it. The Lord says, you know, go into your prayer room. I particularly like this picture. Not to be to show off, but to be, that's where prayer really happens, isn't it? When we're on our own, or with your dog if you've got one. I'm not a particular dog fan. But if you must, take your dog with you. That quiet place, the place when you're on your own, in your room, going for a walk, even on your bike sometimes. That's a good place to be. Spend time with God. Be intimate with God. That intimate place. Intimate place with God. One evening, this little story I read. A little girl was saying her bedtime prayers with her mother. Dear Harold, bless mother and daddy and all my friends, she prayed. Wait a minute, interrupted mother. Who's Harold? That's God's name, was the answer. Who told you that that was God's name? Asked mother. I learned it in Sunday school, mummy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. The little girl got a bit confused. But she liked it's God's name. It was intimate, on personal terms. God the Father. Personal name. Yeah, we don't know God's name, but he's our Father. We don't call our fathers by their first name, don't we? We call them by our Father elsewhere in Scripture. Not this one. It's used Abba, the Aramaic word for Father. Personal term of Father. He is our Father. There are those who try and do away with it, say, is it really Father? Should we call him Father? Because some people don't like their fathers. They don't get on with them. Yeah, we should. There are a few references in the Bible just to make sure we get the right idea. I think I wrote it down here somewhere. I think it was something like 254. He's our Father. You see, those who have bad experiences of Father, they need to know the Father more than any of us. They need to know and experience the love of God, the love of God, our Father. That's what a perfect Father is. Even those who think of us as doing quite a good job as fathers, but we just in the same league as God, are we? And we need to know the intimacy of our Heavenly Father. Barriers are broken down with our Heavenly Father. How we need to get back, need to know and establish the intimacy of our Father God. See, in the Old Testament, God was a bit remote. They had to go through the priest. They had the temple. You see, that was one of the problems that the Jewish leaders and the priests, they had problems when Jesus died on the cross. The temple curtain was ripped down the middle. It was a foot thick. It was huge, absolutely vast. This separated God from man. That's what Jesus came to do, was to take away that divide so that we can have direct access to the Father. And Jesus says, you call him Father. Wow, that's mind-blowing. We can have direct access to God, our Father. Our Father. He didn't just say, my Father, which he'd been using. You're my Father. As he said in many of his prayers, he said, you call him our Father. Together we can say, our Father. That's mind-blowing. If you go away and forget everything else I say this morning, or everything else we say today, just remember, our Father. And when you're struggling, and when life is tough and difficult, call out to our Father. Your Father. My Father. Our Father. And we can have a personal relationship. A personal relationship. That's mind-blowing stuff. It's incredible. not just anyone, but God, our Father. Our Father, who is or who art in heaven, if you read older versions, older language. It doesn't mean someone who is remote, who is far off, who is far distant. It is God who is nearby. He's everywhere. He's in control of the whole universe, of everything. God is in the heavens. However vast he is, we can have that personal relationship with him. Let me give you a couple of verses just to help us. We can have an intimate relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. What does it say in 1 John? See what great love the Father has given? No, lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, because that is what we are. And just to make sure, it doesn't show up very well. This is how God has showed his love among us. He has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's how much the Father loves us. The one we can have an intimate relationship with our Father, who lavishes his love upon us as his children. Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed, honored be your name. To recognize that is God, who he is. He is holy, he is perfect. He is to be honored and respected. Yet we have the intimate relationship, but we honor him and respect him and recognize who he is. Let's never treat that relationship lightly. That's the relationship we start out with right at the beginning. Our heavenly, holy, wonderful, amazing Father. Your kingdom come. God's kingdom. What does it mean? On two levels. Well, there's a spiritual level. We're asking God to reign in our lives. We're also looking forward to his coming again. His coming again. The supreme ruler. How do we give God reign? Oops, gone one too far. How do we give God reign? Does he reign in our homes? Does he reign in our families? Does he reign in our workplace? In our money? In our ambitions? In our priorities? In our time? Does he reign in everything? How much does he allow his kingdom come? How big a priority is it? And when we pray, thy kingdom come, do we really mean it? Because it's very easy to say, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and we can just trot it out very nice and easily without thinking about what we're saying. Are we just trotting these phrases out without engaging our brains and thinking what we're really saying? Let's draw on that a minute. Think about that for a minute while I have a glass of water. What are the areas of your life where you're saying, thy kingdom come? And whether you're actually saying, yes, thy kingdom come. You can have that reign. You can have that control over that area of my life. God wants his reign to expand. He doesn't want anyone to perish. There are four references which talk about God. See, God wants people to come to faith in him. And so, as we ask for God's kingdom to come, we want his kingdom to come in other people's lives. We want his reign to be upon the lives of other people, across our nation, across this world. Of course, there'll be people who are going to rebel, and people have free choice. God's not going to force his reign upon people. But we can pray for other people to come to faith, as we were sharing earlier on. Are we praying for others? Are we praying for his kingdom to be expanded? Is that a priority for us in prayer? Do we get on our knees and pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. God wants his reign to expand. Are we joining with him with the expansion of his kingdom? Thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What about God's will? Are we into God's will? Or are we into our own will? Are we disobedient people? Are we people who just want to do whatever we want to do? Live lives our own way. Whose will is important to us? Yeah, our ambitions, our ideas, our desires. Are we just do our own thing? We tag God on when we feel like it. You see, thy will be done. There's a challenge, isn't it? Thy will be done. Not my will, not your will, his will. I love Romans 12. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants to change our minds. God wants to change our minds. Are we open to have our minds changed, to have our minds renewed, to find out what his good and perfect and pleasing will is? Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven. To be obedient. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Ooh, we've got a long way to go, haven't we? To do God's will like it is in heaven, on earth, in our own lives, but also elsewhere, but particularly in our own lives, because it starts with us. Because if we want to see God's kingdom expanded, if we want to see God's will done on earth, it starts with you and me. Ouch. That's hard, isn't it? It starts with you and me, and that means renewed minds, renewed hearts, being ready to be transformed. Easy words to say, hard words to enact. We can pray them. We can pray the Lord's Prayer forever and a day. But actually, to pray them knowing what they mean and actually putting them into action, being really open to what God is actually saying. And for each of us, there'll be different challenges along the way to allow God's kingdom to come, to allow his will to be done. And just being open and being honest. Do we want to see the world transformed for Jesus? Do we want Jesus, people to be won for him, to see amazing things happen in our churches, in our communities, in this nation, in this world? It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. It starts with him. Not just our list of wants and requests, but knowing who he is, knowing what he wants. People are coming to faith. We want to see more. We want to see revival. We want to see this nation changed. We want to see this nation transformed. God is active. But so often, our prayers and requests are just so passive. God wants us to be active. I want to close with a prayer. It's a prayer I come across by a lady called Becky Hardingham. I don't know who she is. But I found it, and it's a prayer. I'm not even sure it's written as a prayer. It's written in a piece of text. But I thought it encompasses a challenge as to what we've been reading, looking at this morning. And it challenges our hearts as to what we should, what God would have us say this, do this morning. So let us pray, shall we? Lord, take your rightful place. Come and rule in my heart. I surrender to your lordship in every area of my life. Bring into my heart perfect alignment with yours. Lord, come and rule and reign over my family. I receive your peace as I pray for each member of my family. I bring to your feet every concern and care. I receive your peace and pray that each one may bow before your throne and submit to your authority. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done at my workplace. May I live in alignment with your will, so that your love flows out of me to every co-worker. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in my neighbourhood. Rule and reign over my community. Let me be a beacon of light to my neighbours, demonstrating the love of Christ in all I do. Lord, let your kingdom come to my nation and also to the world, where every person that does not know Jesus, may they turn towards your love and bow before your lordship. Help me to live according to the culture that you outlined in your kingdom, poor in spirit, with a loving and generous heart. Let others experience your grace through me today. Father God, thank you that we can have, and we do have, that personal relationship with you, our perfect Heavenly Father. Amen.